Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And joe@rt.ie. Geraldine Mahan. Geraldine in Longford. Geraldine, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
And yesterday we heard from a number of parents about children with autism. One man, Declan Corrie, a very difficult situation, to release some of the restrictions that are placed on him if he wishes to still get the carer's allowance for his child. And then Cheryl contacted us, and her son, who's 14, Daniel, he's currently in hospital because he's been very, very robust, to say the least, at home, and they've had to call the guards. And but he is keeping to his routine, thanks to the hospital, going to school every day. And Cheryl was just making the point, if I got extra help, we could remove him from the hospital and all the costs that that entails and actually have him here at home. What's your situation, Geraldine, with your son, James?
James is 28 years of age.
Yeah.
He's a very big, strong lad. We've had a number of incidents at home that leaves us, you know, he is presenting behaviours that are quite frankly dangerous and of concern to us. We applied some time ago after I received a black eye to get James a residential place. Now, there is a place available, and his carers and everybody agree that James is suitable for this place. I've been told by Finian McGrath's office, among others, that it's a matter of funding. And in the meantime, James is regressing, and he is losing his quality of life. And we are, you know, we're living in, you know, on tenterhooks here with him. He has a bi-weekly service whereby he goes into a rehab service house every other week, and he's home every other week.
And who's in the house, Geraldine?
Who's in our house?
Yes.
Well, there's my husband and myself. My husband is 70 years of age, and he suffers from, you know, the lung COPD.
Yeah.
And I have scoliosis, among other complaints.
Oh, my God.
And James, like, internalizes a great deal, and sometimes he just, you know, he lets go. And generally speaking, if there's nobody else here, it's generally me that takes the brunt of whatever happens.
And what's your daily routine, Geraldine?
Our daily routine, now, you know, for the week he's at home, he goes into his day service, he comes home. Now, we do have a lady who comes to us for a few hours, and if I think that James is stable enough, I let her take him in the evening time, because she also has three young children. I have a daughter who helps out enormously here at home, who we great. I'm very blessed with my family, to be honest with you. Without them, we would never have managed this far, and I am wondering how we're going to manage into the future.
And you mentioned your husband has COPD, which has its own issues in terms of energy and breathing and discomfort, to say the least.
Yeah.
And you've scoliosis and rheumatoid arthritis.
I have, yeah. And my husband is afraid to leave me in the room with him on my own. Now, that's where we're at now. And this upsets me a great deal, because James has so much potential, and he is crying out for this place. He has seen his brothers and sisters grow up and move on with their lives, but nothing's happening for him.
And you have a location where that's...
Oh, there's a location, and there's a room available.
And they're prepared to accept them.
And they're prepared to accept them, and it all comes down to money. And, you know, as my daughter pointed out, they are in direct contravention of his rights under the UN Convention of Rights for People with Disability.
And has he ever lived, apart from short periods, has he ever lived away from the family home? He's 28, so since
no,
he was...
No, he's never lived...
Oh, never, okay.
Only for short periods, you know, has he lived away. Like, as I say, every other week.
Okay, and what difference would it make if you had that extra help? He would be living somewhere else. Of course, you'd be up seeing him all the time, but...
We would be seeing him all the time, and it's not a matter of us wanting to hand on our responsibility.
Yeah, of course,
we realise, but we also realise what's happening to James is... Not only is it detrimental to our health, but it isn't good for him. He is doing his best to tell us this is what he wants. You know, and that's what his, you know, the behaviours that he comes up with. I honestly believe it's him saying, I'm not happy, I want to move on. Like, you know, there's times when he's refusing to get out of the rehab car. He wants to go back to, you know, to their service. You know, he doesn't want to come home. You know, there's kind of, you know, it's very, very upsetting. James has enormous potential, and we want what's best for James. You know, and I think, you know, it's horrible for me to have to say, and I don't want to have to say, but I'm afraid of him. I'm not afraid of him. I'm afraid for him.
But given what you told me that happened to you, what have you a plan or with your daughter or husband? Have you, can you predict, Geraldine, when James becomes very robust and difficult?
Occasionally you can predict, but basically it seems to come out of the blue. As I say, he internalises a great deal, and, you know, something might have happened during the day and he comes home and, you know, maybe he's, you know, figuring this out in his mind and decides, oh, that's not right, I'm going to get somebody for that, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, but he's a fantastic person, and I'm hating to see what's happening to him now, to be honest with you. I mean, I was at a meeting yesterday, and we spent 2.5 hours in the meeting, and basically, like, I might as well be sitting at home, because really, the person from the HSC was there, and she took notes. But, like, you know, we're all new. She's going to bring them back, and they're just going to come back to us and say, no funding. Now, this has been going on nearly for 18 months with us. You know, we've been trying to get... And during that 18 months, this placement, this accommodation has lain idle. It's there, you know, and for the amount of money that it cost, I don't believe it's an enormous sum. And the amount of money the HSC are spending on other things and such, like, I don't see why, you know, they can't, you know, give this for James.
And
I know there's other people needing things, and, you know, I sympathise enormously with him, but with everybody that needs something from the HSC. But this is what we need. This is our situation.
And you're not getting any younger, and there is unfortunately, and you're not blaming your son, but there is unfortunately a history of injury in the house.
There is,
to you. And Geraldine, have you anywhere you can go in the house if things did get very difficult?
Not really, you know, kind of. My husband, as I say, at this stage, he doesn't want to leave me in the room alone with James. My daughters have made me put in a panic button, you know, and they're on, you know, they're the points of contact should anything happen, you know. But, you know, other than that, like, we've done everything. Everything the HSC have asked us to do. We've brought James to numerous appointments. We even had an MRI at our own expense because they were putting him on a waiting list that would last forever. We've brought him to, everything checked.
Why did he need to have an MRI, Geraldine?
Well, because James bangs his head a great deal. And to be quite honest, I expected to find that James had, you know, incurred a brain injury, you know, brain injury through banging his head. But the MRI came back fine. Thank God, yes. But, like, you know, kind of now they're suggesting to me, or the psychiatrist is suggesting to me, that I should think about putting James on risperidone, which is a drug which kind of, it's a sedation, really. But, like, you know, the people working with James says he doesn't need drugs. What he needs is the stable environment which, you know, he can thrive in.
And which he's willing to go to.
Yeah.
As you say, he won't get out of the car, the van, when he's brought home. And that's no reflection on you. That's just he wants his own life now.
He's
28 now. Like his siblings. Okay, Geraldine. Geraldine, thanks indeed, and kind regards to you and your great family. That's Geraldine Mahan in Long. Let me bring Anna in. Anna, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Good, thanks. Now, I thought, and there was much made of this in the last two budgets, self-employed people, because we covered it here, primarily through the recession, when self-employed people who've been employing 15, 20, 30 families discovered when the company went bust, they were the only one in the company that were not entitled to any help from the state.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were, and I thought it was changing. But what have you discovered, Anna, through your life circumstances?
Yeah, so I have a four-month-old baby girl. Her name is Robin, and she has Down syndrome. So she's great now. She's a little pest. But I'm self-employed, and I own a small business. And due to my circumstances, because of Robin, I was hoping to apply for a carer's benefit.
Okay.
So carer's benefit is something you can avail of for 2 years, and then you can go on then, ideally, to go back to work or whatever suits for your needs and the needs of your baby. So with the carer's benefit, that's all based on your PRSI contributions. And for me, the stamp that I would pay is called an S stamp, because I'm the owner of a company, where all my staff would pay an A stamp. Okay. Now, unfortunately, because I pay the S stamp, I'm not entitled to the carer's benefits. So I can't work, say, the 15 hours and then have that be rewarded, that payment, so I can stay at home with Robin. So basically, when she's 6 months old, which is in 2 months' time, I have to go back to work to pay my bills. So if any of my staff were to come to me and be in my situation and come and say, look, this has happened to us, you know, this is what we're going to apply for the carer's benefit, they're all fine, they can do that. So, like, I'm getting up in the morning the past so many years, getting up, working, providing jobs, paying all my taxes for my staff, paying everything. But yet I can't avail of this contribution to my home for Robin, because with Down syndrome, early intervention is the key.
Everyone says that.
Yeah, I mean, you can't turn around. Like, I know there's a lot of parents out there who have children with autism and other disabilities, but some of these, I suppose autism, it can be more diagnosed at a later stage. Whereas with children with, like, a genetic thing like Down syndrome, it's straight away, it's from birth. And I just feel that I think any parent who we knew before we had Robin, we found out the 20-week scan, so we were lucky to have that time to prepare ourselves.
Okay.
But I just feel that, you know, I think anybody that knows just after birth or before birth that they know they have a child who is going to need full-time care, they should automatically, no matter what, be rewarded the carer's benefit. Because it's just for the 2 years, you know, because, like, when I was pregnant, I had everything planned prior to the diagnosis, you know. Yeah. I had my pregnancy, I was like, okay, well, I had to make plans. I have a business. I can't just, you know, stop. I had to keep going once I had the baby. Put the baby's name down for creche or childcare at 6 months. Have all that planned, but, of course, all of that stopped then.
And if what is available to other, to your employees, if what is available to them could be available to you, it would make all of the difference, that carer's allowance.
Well, it would mean that I don't have to actually, it would mean that I can just do the 15 hours a week and be at home with Robin to give her the extra care that she needs. Like, already I've joined a group, Down Syndrome Ireland group based in Kildare, and they're brilliant. I've been with them now 3 times so far. Now, it is a big step for me because there's beautiful children there. They're all fabulous. But I can see from my perspective what's ahead of me because of these 2-year-olds and 3-year-olds, and they're all absolutely gorgeous, and I'm really enjoying it. So already she's 4 months old, and I have to get into these groups to help her. This is how prevalent early intervention is. So,
sorry, Anna, have you had an opportunity, I'm trying to look it up here as you speak, have you had an opportunity to look up what, because the Taoiseach is always saying, they said it at the Fine Gael Ardèche, they said it at the previous Ardèche, entitlements for, and I saw actually the Irish Congress of Trade Unions, unfortunately, objecting to it, but self-employed people will be entitled to the same benefits, so to speak, as others. Sick pay and paternity leave. Have you looked it up? Is this the only one that is now out of the loop,
or has
the government delivered on the other ones?
Well, no, they haven't delivered. I think self-employed, if they become unemployed, they can claim. They can receive a payment like a back to work payment or the dole type thing. They can receive. That's only new. That's only after coming in. I think that's happening in November.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think this is down to your contribution, like the PRSI contribution. My point is, I pay a contribution. This is what's so unfair. I have been paying a contribution since I've been 16. You know, I never knew when I was, you know, expecting, you know, that this would be the path that I've now in front of me, which is brilliant. Like, she's doing absolutely amazing. We are absolutely blessed. She's a little gem. But I just, all of this now is I'm doing all this kind of different research of, you know, the help that you need and then finding out about the carer's benefit. I just think it's really unfair. I think as soon as you know at birth if your child has this genetic disability, it should be allowed no matter what your circumstances is. I'll be thinking now going forward, like, new parents, and there's a lot of women, unfortunately, out there who don't get early diagnosis, and they have a baby, and the baby is discovered to have Down syndrome. And I just think it should be a thing that's implemented straight away. And it gives you the option. It's not to say, I mean, I'm sure there's other people that are self-employed out there mm-hmm. might be comfortable and might say, well, look, that's not an option for me. That's fine. But it's the fact that I'm not even given the option, but I'm providing the jobs. If I decided tomorrow, look, this is not working for me, my child is more important than my business, I need to close that business down, all of those girls have no jobs. They're on the dole. Do you know that? It's just so unfair.
Have you raised it? I mean, there's a council elections on and European elections on. And by the way, Anne, I know you're up to your eyes, by the way. You probably don't even have time to open the door at this stage. But have you managed to raise it with any candidate?
Yeah, so I popped down to a local TD here where I am, and they said they will put it forward to the ministers, but that was 2 weeks ago, so I haven't really heard anything. And then another TD I got in touch with, he just recommended maybe putting the forms in. So send the forms in, and then obviously because of the S stamp, they're going to refuse it. And when it comes back, then how would you say? You know, appeal. That's what that was his recommendation. So, you know, that's what. And as I said,
Anna, when will you have to go back to work?
8 weeks' time.
Yeah.
So in 8 weeks' time,
and
she
baby,
either has
what's your baby's first name?
Robin,
lovely name. Robin was born on January the 1st.
Yeah.
So we're now only into May, and you've got to go back to work in June.
Yeah.
Whereas if you had worked in, I don't know, the business you run, fair play to you, seven staff, seven families. If you'd worked in that company, you wouldn't have to go back for 2 years.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I mean, as I said, if any of my staff come to me and explain the situation, I'd only be happy to say, yeah, look, you take that time. You just do your 15 hours, we'll allocate it to when you're needed for those 15 hours, and I'd be happy to do that for them, but I can't do that for myself.
Yeah.
So it's just something I wanted to highlight, really, because there's an awful lot of those other parents that have been on to Joe. I mean, the work they have to do with the much older children. I don't feel like, at the minute, you know, we're lucky. Robin, she's really, really healthy. She's doing great. She's thriving, but it's more to do with her early intervention.
Yeah. Which is what everyone agrees on as well.
It's, yeah.
Okay, Anna, points well made, and let's hope something comes of it. That's Anna. Thanks, Nico.